All kinds of new experiences this morning. I thought about sitting over here where Pastor Keith usually sits, but that was just entirely too much change for a Baptist. Before we get started this morning, I want to tell you a couple of stories. Compare and contrast. I'm a teacher. I like compare and contrast things. Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards were missionaries in Africa. Ruby was past 80. She was up into her 80s. Laura was quickly getting to her 80s. Both women had spent their lives spreading the gospel across Africa. On a particular afternoon, they were driving along a road in Cameroon. This rickety, just junk box of a car. And the brakes failed. The car went off the road, flipped, turned, twisted, and killed them both. Compare that to this. Reader's Digest included a story of a couple in their early 50s. They had taken early retirement and decided to do what retired people tend to do. They moved to Florida. They bought a 30-foot fishing trawler or boat, and that's where they live. And they spend their days playing tennis and collecting seashells. Which of those is a tragedy? Two women spending their lives, losing their lives in pursuit of Christ. Or two people spending their final decades polishing seashells. See, all too often we think that the purpose of our lives is the second. I'm working to retirement. I have big plans in retirement. My uncle had grand plans in retirement. He wanted to travel. He wanted to see the world. About a month after he retired, he was diagnosed with brain cancer, and about 6 months after that, he was gone. See, life is about risk, but we are risk averse. We tend to take the safe path. Practically, we do this by where we live, where we work, who we associate with. Emotionally, we do this. We avoid hard conversations. It's easier sometimes for us to hold a grudge against someone who has done us wrong than it is for us to forgive that person and allow them back into our lives. What if they hurt me again? Spiritually, I don't want to share my faith. I'm too nervous. I can't do that. I'm not good at it. I don't speak good. Or my personal favorite as a youth pastor, I don't do kids. That's somebody else's calling. It's not mine. But the reality is that everything we do is a risk. Getting up is a risk. Getting in your car is a risk. Driving to church, driving to work. Everything we do is a risk because we are finite, linear beings. We experience every moment one after the next, and we have no idea what the next moment holds. I have no idea if we will get to the end of this sermon. Some of you, by the end of the sermon, are going to be wondering the exact same thing. But following Jesus requires us to take a risk because it is an action. Action requires risk. Following Jesus requires us to step out and to go wherever he commands. Amen. And as we are going to see in the scripture today, sometimes he can command us to go some pretty odd places. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 14, verses 32 through 33 is where we're going to be. Starting in verse 22, this is after he has fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, and he's quite frankly done with people for a little while. So he wants to get away, and so we pick up in verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountainside to by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." If you bow with me in prayer, Father, we come before you, God. We ask that you would bless the reading of your word. Father, we ask that you would speak to us through your message. Remove me from the equation entirely, that it's only you coming through. Father, personally, I would pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Following God requires us to take risks. It requires us to go places that we are not entirely comfortable with. And we go because we are commanded to. Take a look at verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat. This was not an option for them. This was, "Hey, you guys, get in the boat. Y'all go on ahead. I'm going to dismiss the crowds." This is Jesus showing his sovereignty, but more so, think about the situation here, okay? Jesus is familiar with the Sea of Galilee. He knows that this sea is a volatile body of water, surrounded on all sides by mountains. It is very well known for its storms and its high winds. It is a dangerous place at this time to sail. It is still not the safest place in the world for anybody on a boat. And yet, what does Jesus do? "Hey guys, y'all can walk around the sea. No, you don't have to go across the water. The water's dangerous. I want you guys to be safe. Walk around. Take your time." No. Immediately, he made the disciples get in the boat. The risk was real, and they knew it too. More so than Jesus knowing the risk, the disciples knew it too. Four of these disciples were fishermen who, prior to following Jesus, had made their living fishing on this exact same body of water. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were very well acquainted with what Jesus was asking them to face. And beyond all of that, we see throughout the ancient world this idea that water is dangerous. Water is the unknown. The depths of the sea is the unknown. They weren't exactly excited about it in the first place. And yet, Jesus says, "Go." Why? Because if we are following Jesus, then Jesus is sovereign over our lives. We talked about this at camp. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." I may have gotten that reference wrong, but I promise you that is in Romans. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, calling Jesus Lord of my life means that I am not. It means that I have given up control of my life, of the direction that I am going to Jesus. The disciples did the exact same thing when they decided to follow him. So in following Jesus, that means wherever he goes or wherever he tells us to go, we are going because he is sovereign over us. He controls our steps. He controls my steps. I've told the story and I'll tell it again. My wife's tired of hearing about it. That's okay. Teenager Cody was a shy kid. I didn't get out. I had a small group of friends, and that was enough for me. I didn't need anybody else. And then in 2005, Jesus says, no, you're going into ministry. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yes. I said, how sure? Apparently, he was very sure. So here I am. I didn't go because I wanted to. I went because I was commanded to. I was told to. God sends his people where he wills. One of my favorite verses or stories in scripture is the calling of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, God says, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah raises his hand and he says, here am I, send me. And the sentence stops. He doesn't say, here am I, send me to the Israelites. Here am I, send me to the Ammonites or the Moabites or whoever elseites were around at the time. Here am I, send me. The story of Jonah. Jonah is told, you are going to whoever he went to. You are going to Nineveh. And Jonah's answer was, want to bet? And God's answer was, sure. Let's see how this works out for you. No. We go because we are commanded to go. But in going, we receive something that no one else gets to experience. Verses 25 to 27. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. See, in Jesus appears to them out of the absolute dark. When was the last time anybody, not a teenager, was up at about 3 in the morning? Right? It's pretty dark out there. Okay? It's way too dark. And imagine you're in the middle of a huge body of water, and all of a sudden somebody comes walking out of the darkness. I don't know if you all are aware of this. People don't walk on water. That's not a thing. At least it wasn't a thing before this. So they see it and they say it is a ghost. Their initial reaction was fear. Our initial reaction to any risk that we are asked to take, that we are commanded to take, is often fear. And in our fear, we can let that collapse our courage, that we can let it sap our courage and steal what we are supposed to do. I don't have many stories, so Sarah's heard this one too. You may have heard it as well. The first person I ever shared the gospel with said, I think Jesus was a nut. And seventh grade me was like, yes, sir, thank you very much. And I ran away. Ninth grade me. And in that moment, I allowed my fear to stop me. What if I had just asked, why do you think he's a nut? About a week ago, we were fixing dinner. I was fixing dinner, and I hear a knock on the door. And I open it up, and it's two Mormons. Oh, goody. And they said, we felt like the Holy Spirit was calling us to come visit your house. Do you know why? I said, I know why. You might not. Come on in. It's a far cry from running away. Instead, I'm inviting them in. Why? Because I have come to the realization that as I share Christ, I grow nearer to him. He reveals himself to me more and more and more. As those two missionaries left my house, I was sitting there thinking about our conversation. I was like, oh my gosh, I could have told him this and I could have told him that. And all of these revelations, and I felt God's presence in the moment. I got to experience God. The disciples' fear leads them into this revelation. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. See, fear is a very natural response for us, but the revelation that Jesus gives us overcomes that fear. He speaks with assurance. He does the same thing in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is assurance. He promises us his presence. And because of that, we find the courage to step out in faith and to experience something that nobody else gets to experience apart from God. I was talking to the students, I think it was Wednesday. We tend to see Jesus as this authority figure. God is this authority figure, you know, with a list of do's and don'ts. And don't you do this and you don't do that. And it's all designed to take fun away from us. Fun suckers. When in fact, Jesus tells us himself, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. See, apart from Jesus, no one gets to experience the fullness of life. They get to experience a little shadow of it. Just enough to let them know that they're not getting the full picture. Peter here gets the full picture. Verse 28. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. Peter gets out of the boat. Peter says, Lord, if it is you, command me. No, this is not Peter's idea. Okay, he doesn't jump out, spontaneity. There's the word I'm looking for. Instead, he waits on Jesus to call him. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been called. It is in Scripture. It's in red letters and everything. If you have that kind of Bible, you know, we know for a fact that it is Jesus speaking to us. We are called. So the question to us is, are we going to step out? There are two people in history who have walked on water, who know what it is like to stand on a body of water, to look down and see the abyss beneath them and to not fall in. Jesus and Peter. And that is it. There are 11 other men sitting in the boat without the courage to say, okay, I want a piece of this. I want this experience. I want to meet. I want to get nearer to Jesus. But when he does this, and we should not overlook this part. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Again, fear. He steps out. He sees nothing beneath him but darkness. He sees the wind. He literally sees the wind. Like he feels the wind. He sees the waves. He is terrified. This is a brand new thing. People are not supposed to do this. He's somewhere where he has nothing beneath him. There's no safety net here. God has called him out onto the smallest limb of the tree. And he's about to fall, and he's about to sink, and he panics. But what is his response? He doesn't simply drown. Instead, he cries out, Lord, save me. What does Jesus do? Verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus is right there. When we risk, when we step out, when we go beyond what we are comfortable with, we have the absolute assurance of God, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, that he is with us always. And he proves it here. He's right there. An arm's length away. Grabbing Peter. Pulling him back up. And what does he say to him? Oh, you of little faith. Matthew is fairly fond of stories of people with little faith. If you flip over just a couple of chapters to Matthew chapter 17. Verse 19. After several disciples are unable to drive demons out of a man, Jesus does it with ease. And in verse 19, then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Amen. Little faith. How little our faith is. But that's not the point of this. The point is not to shame us for our little faith. I don't think the point is even to shame Peter for his little faith, because look at what Peter's little faith led him to do. Peter's little bit of faith, the little faith that he had, led him to walk on water. These verses, if you have, we always focus on the move mountains, right? If I have just the faith of a mustard seed, I can move a mountain. But look at how Jesus finishes this. Nothing will be impossible for you. For who? For me? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be able to do anything. I want God to work through me to do whatever he wants to do. I was talking about this about a week or so ago. In the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination, I've seen a lot of people holding Charlie Kirk up as this paragon of faith. And it is true. He had a tremendous faith, and he was very public with it, and it was amazing. But if I could say one thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to be like Charlie Kirk. I don't want you to be like me. I don't want you to be like Pastor Keith. I want you to be like Jesus. Stepping out does not make us more of ourselves. It makes us more like Jesus. Charlie Kirk, if he were still here, would say the exact same thing. He wasn't looking to be more like Charlie Kirk. He was looking to be more like Jesus. Peter was not looking to be more like Peter. He was looking to be more like Jesus. And how do we do that? By stepping out. By following him. But the story's not through. A lot of times we end it with Peter and Jesus getting back in the boat and Jesus chastising Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then we end it right there. Okay, good story. You know, shame on Peter for doubting. Or, hey, Peter was great. He stepped out of the boat. But that completely misses the point of the entire story. See, Peter is not the point of this story. We are not the points of this story. The point of the story is Jesus. Verse 32. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I think all too often we are afraid to step out of our little bubble because we are afraid of failure. Because we are afraid of what we're going to look like. We are afraid that we are going to be attacked or whatever it is. But the point of stepping out, the point of even getting into the boat in the first place, is not about us. It's about Jesus. Go back, verse 22. Immediately he, Jesus, made the disciples. His sovereignty of Christ. Verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. The supremacy of Christ, even nature, even the laws of physics, bow to Christ, bow to God. Verse 29, he said, "Come," the authority of Christ. That is what this story is about, and it is leading to one point, the same point that everything ought to point to, the deity of Christ. Verse 33, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." A little bit of context. If you were a Jew at this time and you worshipped anything, anyone other than God, there was a better than average chance that you were going to get stoned as a heretic. So to offer worship to Jesus is not a little thing. They're not saying, "Hey, good job, Jesus. thank you for saving us and for calming the wind and for, you know, rescuing Peter whenever he was dumb enough to step out of the boat. No, they're worshiping him because he is God. And he has shown it throughout this entire event. Shown it in his sovereignty over their lives, by his authority to command them, by his authority to command nature and the laws of the universe itself. He is God. Everything that we do in service of Jesus, in service of the gospel, points not to us, but to God. It doesn't matter if you sink. It doesn't matter if you stumble. It doesn't matter if you fall head over heels. God is still there because he is the point of it all. And he will pick you back up and you get to try again. This moment does not define Peter. He's not even defined in a few chapters later when he denies Christ three times. Instead, today we know him by his actions in the book of Acts, where he leads the early church and leads it well, because he finally figured out the point. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. Whatever we do as a church, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. There are days where I'm tired. There are Wednesday nights where I could go home and sleep for 3 days. But God called me to this. God called me to minister his word to students until such time as he says, okay, fine, you're done. God has called each and every one of us to something extremely similar. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Everything in this command we saw put into practice in Matthew 14. We see how it works and we see what we get out of it. We get to experience God. We get to experience Jesus, the overwhelming power of his gospel. It's not about if people say yes or no to us. It's about us following the command of God. As the praise team comes up, I said it earlier, and I'll reiterate. The only way to experience the fullness of life, the only way to experience actual, real life, if you will, is through Christ. Is he sovereign over your life? Is he the supreme authority over your life? Is he God over your life? If the answer is yes, then we have our marching orders. If the answer is no, though, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to experience that life, that the fullness of that life. So as the praise team leads us, I'll be down here. Hey, if you don't want to talk to me, I don't blame you either. See Pastor Keith. All right, see somebody. Do not wait to experience life.